Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, students. Welcome to our Thursday evening lesson summary review. Today is Thursday, and we go over our bachelor's degree in practical ministry courses. And we are on our second course, which is entitled The Kingdom, the Power, and the Glory. We're studying a New Testament survey, and we're on session 8 this week. Session 8 is dealing specifically with how the church finds solutions. Now, this session will help you to learn how the epistles of 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, 1st Peter, and Hebrews address problems in the church as they matured. This session will also provide practical instruction on the subjects of ministerial leadership, persecution, and the relationship of Judaism to Christianity. So as we prepare for this week's lesson review, our course asks us to meditate on 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and we particularly want to concentrate on the fact that we have been chosen by God, that we have received mercy from Him, and we belong to Him. With that being said, let us pray for one another. Let us pray for each and every one of our fellow students and our staff members, that God will help us who may be hurting, that He may help believers in distant lands who may be being persecuted and facing problems because of their faith today. Father, we thank You that we have this example in Scripture that can inspire our faith, that can encourage us, and to provide hope and inspiration as we place our faith and hope in You as the only wise God, our Savior. To You be all the glory, dominion, and power. As we study these lessons, let Your Spirit come alive in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, welcome, students, to our Thursday lesson summary review. This is session number 8 of the course, The Kingdom, the Power, and the Glory, which is a New Testament survey. And we've been going over all the books of the New Testament, or the letters of the New Testament, and this week we're going to be covering several other letters, including what's called the pastoral epistles of 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, as well as 1st Peter and the book of Hebrews. Now, I'd like to comment that in the work of the Lord, opportunities and opposition are common experiences that usually occur at the same time. We'll see that Paul expressed this when he wrote from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. He says, "A great door for effective work has been opened to me, and there are many who oppose me." Now, in this session, we will see how the church handled opposition while expanding and faced its difficulties with faith and courage. And I pray that the lesson, as you studied it, also encourage your faith as you face difficulties in your life. Now, the first section of our study asks us, or talked about, how the church responded to growth. And this will cover the letters to Timothy and Titus, which is on pages 178 through 186 in your study guide. Now, our first objective asks us to identify or describe aspects of the life and teaching of Paul as shown in the pastoral epistles. So let me begin with this question. What were some of Paul's major contributions to the early church? Think about that for just a second and what you read and studied in your lesson. And if you'd like to jot some of these things down on a blank sheet of paper, feel free to do so. Some of your answers should include, among other things, any of these. One of Paul's major contributions were his New Testament letters of Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and possibly Hebrews. We can also see that Paul contributed by his example as a believer and a minister. We also see some of Paul's major contributions as we see his emphasis upon salvation by grace, his doctrinal teaching, his pattern for establishing churches, and his complete devotion to the Lord. So we see this man, the Apostle Paul, is credited with writing more of a third of the New Testament. And we've been studying many of his lessons and many of his letters over these last few lesson reviews. Now we're going to continue the discussion about how Paul contributed to the New Testament church, and as well as we're going to look at the book of First Letter of Peter and the book of Hebrews. So let's take a look at our exercise sheet for this program. If you're in the classroom, your instructor will have provided you with an exercise sheet. If you're studying independently, we're going to go over these courses now, these questions now, so you can make notes if you like on a blank sheet of paper as we review the questions in the exercise sheet. And as always, you can contact us to request a copy of the exercise sheet if you're studying by distance education. Here's the first question of our exercise that we're going to answer today about how the church finds solutions. The first question is, who were Timothy and Titus? Who were Timothy and Titus? And as you went through your study guide and as you researched the scriptures in your lesson, you see that both Timothy and Titus were younger ministers to whom Paul wrote to give instructions about the ministry. We see Timothy, who was of a Jewish and Gentile descent, joined Paul on his second missionary journey. We see that Paul called Titus his fellow laborer and appointed him as pastor of the church at Crete. So that gives us a brief overview of who Timothy and Titus were. The second question of our exercise sheet asks us, what was the relationship of Timothy and Titus to Paul? Well, we see that Paul considered them, especially Timothy, his sons in the faith. We see that Timothy served with Paul for 3 years in Ephesus, then became the pastor of the church there. In regards to Titus, we know that Titus accompanied Paul to Jerusalem to discuss the matter of circumcising Gentiles. Later, he represented Paul to the Corinthian church during a very troubled time in that congregation. And we also note that Paul appointed Titus to pastor the church at Crete, as we mentioned earlier, and it is believed that Titus was probably with Paul during his second Roman imprisonment. So that answers the question about what was the relationship of Timothy and Titus to Paul. The third question of our study guide asks us, what are the major topics of each of these pastoral epistles? That is, 1st and 2nd Timothy, as well as Titus. Now, the answer that our study guide brought to our attention, and I like to bring to your attention, students, in relation to 1 Timothy, we see that Paul gives instructions about false teachers. He gives directions about public worship. He talked about requirements for church leadership. He gives advice about widows, elders, and slaves. And also, he gives some personal advice to Timothy about his spiritual life and conduct in the ministry. So for a little better understanding, go ahead and review the outline of 1 Timothy that's found in your study guide. Let's take a look at 2 Timothy. What were the major topics of this letter? We see that in this letter, this second letter to Timothy, Paul gives a blend of advice, warning, exhortation, request, instruction, and he gives a personal testimony. And I also like to bring to your attention that this is believed to be the last letter that we have by Paul, as he wrote it from a prison in Rome when he knew that he would soon face the death penalty by execution. And so in his final charge, we see to Timothy, he gives, and he also gives a final charge to all succeeding generations of church leaders. And so it's always important to hear what people have to say when they are facing imminent death or the danger of death, as Jesus shared with his early disciples, what we commonly refer to as the Great Commission. We see Paul here basically gives Timothy his version of his personal Great Commission to Timothy and to others, just as Christ not only left the Great Commission to his early apostles, but he left it to all those who placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And so we can liken this portion of instruction or charge that Paul gave to Timothy for all those who desire to serve in the ministry of Christ. So go ahead and review the outline of 2 Timothy in your study guide to get a better understanding of the breakdown of the instructions that Paul gave to Timothy in that second letter. In our third pastoral epistle, which is Titus, it was somewhat similar to what Paul talked about in his letter to Timothy. But in addition to the exhortations about leadership, Paul charges Titus to be diligent in maintaining sound doctrine. And by this, Paul means the correct teaching about Jesus, not Titus's personal opinion of Jesus, but the exact doctrine and teaching about Jesus as it had been outlined by the early apostles and those who eyewitness testimonies about Jesus' life, mission, Jesus' words, and works. He also left a timely warning in view of the false teaching that was becoming more prominent in the church at that time. So no matter what type of teaching is going forward in church or in the churches, if it's not centered around Christ, the message is suspect, because the entirety, the centrality of the message of the gospel and the Bible in its entirety is a Savior, and that Savior is none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord. So Paul dealt with that with Timothy, in particular Titus, in his letter to him, to maintain sound doctrine, that is, correct teaching about Jesus. And as you did with 1 and 2 Timothy, review the outline for Titus in your study guide. Now, a fourth question, as we're going over session number 8 of our course, The Kingdom, the Power, and the Glory, which is a New Testament survey, we're studying about how the church finds solutions. And right now, we're looking at how they responded to growth in the letters to Timothy and Titus. And we're going over our exercise sheet, and so far we've answered three questions. Let's take a look at a fourth question that this particular lesson brought to our attention. Based on Acts chapter 6, verse 3, as well as 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, and Titus chapter 1, verse 5 through 9. Make note of those, Acts 6 and 3, 1 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 12, Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. And you should have already read those portions of Scripture. If not, you can pause the message and listen and read those and come back and answer this question. The question that we want to answer is, what are the requirements that are listed in these Scriptures for pastors, elders, and bishops? And a second question we want to answer is, what are the requirements for deacons? Now, the answer the course pointed you to and that we want to bring to your attention today is that Paul outlined that they must not be novices in the Scripture. That was some of the things he listed, that they must not be greedy for filthy lucre. He talked about, in the case of the bishops, be the husband of one wife. He talked about deacons and as well as other leaders, that they must not be given to strong drink. They must be apt to teach. So these are some of the things that they outlined as far as the character and characteristics and giftings of those who would serve as pastors, elders, bishops, and deacons. Now, you may use that outline that we just went over to discuss ways that pastors and other church leaders or members in your congregation can work together to build the church and to reach out to the lost in your community. Remember, we're not just reading the Bible and studying the Bible just to gain facts about what the Bible says, but we want to gain the understanding and wisdom about what it says, not just to the people that the letters were written to in the Bible, but what it may say to us today as it applies to our life. So I encourage you to think of at least two or three concrete suggestions that relate to your local situation, and I encourage you to follow up on those suggestions. If you're a church leader, be open to maybe asking a questionnaire about ways that the ministry can be improved or things that people are under your leadership would like to see implemented. It doesn't mean that you will take each and every idea, but it gives an atmosphere of openness, and it may perhaps spur some new perspectives for you as you go forward. Now, that was our first section of this lesson, how they responded to growth. We looked at the letters to Timothy and the letters to Titus. The second major part of this particular lesson was how they responded to persecution. First section was how they responded to growth. Paul addressed those letters to Timothy and Titus. And now we're going to see Peter's first letter and his response to the persecution that the church was facing. So our second objective asks us to recognize facts about the author, background, and content of the letter of 1 Peter. And we're going to continue with the discussion on the exercise sheet with question number 5. And the fifth question of our exercise sheet is, what was the occasion for the writing of 1 Peter? It's important to understand the background information about what was happening and why the things that are contained in the letters are there. So if we think about the background of what was happening in the early church, we can see that the church was undergoing persecution. And we knew that believers were suffering under the Emperor Nero. We know that the Roman government had become very hostile to the church. So Peter wrote his letter to address these problems and to encourage the believers. So you notice they didn't just make up things to write because it seemed good to them. They were actually dealing with real life situations that were affecting the life of the church, that is, the believers who have placed their faith in Christ. And this is why it's very important for us to find the relevant passages of Scripture that apply to our particular life and circumstances and submit ourselves to the instruction that it gives us. Now, it will help you, as we've asked you to do several times throughout this course, look at the map that's found in your study guide. In most versions of the study guide, is around pages 126 to 127, and locate the region to which Peter addressed his letter. We notice in Peter's writing, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, he lists these particular places. He lists Pontus, he lists Galatia, he lists Cappadocia, he lists Asia, and Bithynia. Now, if you want to make notes, you can write on a blank sheet of paper some of the specific instructions and encouragement that Peter gave to the suffering believers in these passages of Scripture. I'm going to give you several passages of Scripture you can make note of. You may have already seen these in your study guide, but if not, this can provide additional study material for you as we review this lesson. Number one, we see in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, as well as chapter 5, verse 10, that he contrasted present suffering with future glory. We see also in the first chapter, verses 1 through 12, he described the hope that they had. We see in the first chapter, verse 13 through chapter 2, verse 3, he spoke of their spiritual calling. A fourth thing, we see that he instructed and exhorted the believers who were facing persecution, is that in chapter 2, verses 4 through 12, He explained their position as God's people. Number five, in second chapter, verse 13 through chapter 3, verse 7, he explained their relationship to the government or the civil rule. A sixth thing that we see he encouraged the early believers in chapter 2, verses 20 to 23, he encouraged them to maintain a Christ-like spirit. Number 7, in chapter 3, verse 8 through verse 22, he encouraged them to do what was right. We have two more for you. An eighth thing that he encouraged the believers in his letter, we're talking 1 Peter here, chapter 4, verses 1 through 19, he encouraged them to have a proper attitude. And finally, we see number 9, in chapter 5, verses 1 through 14, he provides instructions for elders and young men. So go ahead and review the outline that's given to you in your study guide to refresh your memory about that. But these are some very important and helpful things for any believer who may be facing persecution or suffering for their faith that we can use to encourage one another even today. So I pray that you will use whatever relevant portions of these scriptures to particular situations and circumstances and apply them to your life. For we all sometimes can be discouraged by our present suffering, but as Peter instructed the church, look toward the future glory. Think about the hope that we have in Christ. Remember your spiritual calling. Remember that you are God's children. And realize how to relate to the government. He talked about to pray for those who have leadership over you, but also submitting unto the leadership of God. To maintain a Christ-like spirit, to do what was right, having a proper attitude, and following the instructions of a sound Christ-like life. This is something that relates to each and every believer throughout the ages, and even us to this day. So that was our second major section of our lesson, The Church Finds Problems. This is Session 8 of the course, The Kingdom, the Power, and the Glory. So far we've looked at how the church responded to growth. We examined briefly the letters to Timothy and Titus, and then we saw how the church responded to persecution. We looked at the first letter of Peter. Now let's take a look at our third section of this lesson, is how they responded to Judaism. This is the letter to the Hebrews. And so the third objective of our course asks us to describe important aspects of the background and message of the letter to the Hebrews. And we're going to continue with this exercise sheet with question number 6. Question 6, as it relates to the book of Hebrews, is, what is the background and message of the book of Hebrews? Always remember, saints, for our Bible college students and our instructors, that we're studying with all of our getting to get understanding. And out of understanding, it should spur wisdom. So that's why it's important to be able to know the answer to these questions or to research them. So question 6 again is, what is the background and message of the book of Hebrews? Now, some, in the case of the book of Hebrews, some Jewish believers found it difficult to understand how the Old Testament law was related to the Christian faith, that is, faith in Christ only. Some of the Jewish believers insisted on observing the law and the rituals of the temple. So the book of Hebrews was written to encourage these Jewish believers to continue in the Christian faith and not to return to the law and rituals of Judaism, and he explained why. So the author's major contention for the superiority of the Christian faith over the Old Testament rituals or the New Covenant over the Old Covenant is these things. You can make note of these. The first thing he said was that Christ is greater than angels, because there had been going a popular teaching of the worship of angels. He says Christ is greater than angels. You see that in chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 18 of Hebrews. The second thing the author mentioned was that Christ is greater than Moses, because the Jews held the law of Moses as the supreme law that they should follow. So the writer of Hebrews listed that Christ is greater than Moses. You can see this in chapter 3, verse 1 through chapter 4, verse 13. A third thing he pointed out was that Christ is greater than Aaron, because the Jewish believers held to the priesthood of Aaron and the Levites. He wanted you to know that Christ is the greater priesthood. You see that in chapter 4, verse 14, through chapter 7, verse 28. And then he went on to say that the new covenant is better and has better promises than the old covenant. You see a reference for that in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1, through chapter 9, verse 28. And then the writer, we don't know who the writer of Hebrews was. Some believe it may have been Paul. But another thing that he mentioned, the author of Hebrews mentioned, is that the only sacrifice that would take away sin is Christ. You notice the Jewish Old Testament law had rituals and sacrifices and offerings that they gave. But the writer of Hebrews points us to the fact that Jesus is the perfect Lamb of God. He took away sin once and for all, and there's no need for any other sacrifice. You'll see that in chapter 10, verses 1 through 31. And the final point that the writer of Hebrews made was that faith is necessary. And a lot of us are familiar with the very popular portion of Scripture that now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So you have to have faith in Christ. You have to place your faith on Him and in Him as the perfect sacrifice, the one who has fulfilled the law of God. All the requirements of God were met through Christ. That's what your faith has to be based on, is what Paul was sharing to the Jewish believers who had converted or who had come to faith in Christ but still wanted to go back and follow the rituals of the Old Testament law. Again, review the outline of Hebrews in your study guide to give you a little better understanding of how the author broke down his particular sections of this letter. Now, in conclusion for this review on session 8, which is to how the church finds solutions, I want you to think about the names of any particular persons in your local church who may be enduring persecution. And if possible, think about examples of specific persons who may be suffering for Christ. If it's not in your local church, depending on where you are, most places in our Western society, we don't face open persecution. But there are many fellow believers worldwide who are being persecuted. In fact, as many as 1,000 die daily for their Christian testimony. So as we conclude this week's review, we ask you to pray for individuals and congregations who are being persecuted, and pray for those who are persecuting the church. For we know the man whose letters we looked at today, the Apostle Paul, was once a person who persecuted believers, but he became a believer in Christ. We want to pray for more people to be converted. And we want to pray to God to encourage all those believers, just as these letters were written by Paul and by Peter and by the author of Hebrews, to encourage the faith of other believers. Let us also be encouraged today by their witness and by their testimony as we pray for strength and encouragement and hope for one another. So thank you for allowing me this opportunity, saints, to come into your home. We've studied session number 8 of our course, The Kingdom, the Power, and the Glory. We looked at the pastoral epistles of 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus. We looked at 1 Peter and Hebrews tonight. I look forward to continuing as we go through the rest of the books of the New Testament. In the meantime, may you be encouraged and strengthened. God bless you, and good night.